Good morning. My name is Brother Willie Lionel Reed, and I'll be having a scripture reading for this morning. The title of this morning's lesson is The Hand of God, and the scripture will be coming from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. That is Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. And I'll be reading for the NIV version. And it reads, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will help you with my righteous hand." May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word.
Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whosoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whosoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, but at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. I want to say good morning to the congregation on this designated day. The congregation has deemed as Pink Sunday. It's a representation of the fact that we fight and we continue to fight, and by God's hand, He will give us victory in that fight. Not without the hand of God will we ever attain any victory. But the Pink Sunday indicates that we are in the fight, and we're in the fight for the long haul. The hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort we can ever think to have in our lives. The hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort when we or our loved ones are faced with the specter of death. Every living soul has faced or will face crisis in their lives. You're going to face personal experiences of illness. They're devastating and painful. You're going to face the infirmity of a loved one or even death itself. They may not all come at one time, but surely each and every one of us, every living soul on this earth, will be faced sooner or later by the dread disease, by illnesses, by sickness, by death, and sin as well. But the first thing we must know this morning, the first thing we've got to always know, is that there is comfort in believing in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a comfort in that. We are not living in a world that's governed by fate or by chance, as some would say, because God has made the earth and all that dwell therein, and He's in control. I want to tell you this morning that everything is in God's hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this to us. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. We have an eternal house in the heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now the one who fashioned us for this very purpose is God. Everything is in His hands. He fashioned us for this very purpose. He has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. For this very purpose, God has fashioned us, that we might know that even though this body might be destroyed, everything is in God's hands. Furthermore, the early life of His Son ought to reassure us that He knows our needs and is concerned for our welfare. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but he delivered his own son up for us all, that and how shall he not be with him also freely give us all things? Give us all things. Second thing I want you to know, besides the fact that there's a confident believing in God and in his son, the second thing I want you to know is that there is comfort in his words of consolation. See, because for me, it's heartwarming to look through the Bible and see the reaction of God and his son when his children are frightened. It's heartwarming to look and see the reaction of God and his son when his children are troubled. It's heartwarming to look through the scriptures and see the reaction of God and Jesus Christ when we are at the point of death. He says in John 14, to those that are troubled, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid of anything, for I am God, and it's by my hands that you live and breathe and have your very being. But just as a side note, I want you to understand that the phrase, do not be afraid, is found more than 70 times in the scriptures. So it ought to tell us that we should not be afraid of anything, because it's by God's hands, as the song says, that he leads us. It's by his hands. But I think we take it for granted too many times in our lives until we get to the point where we're stricken with illness or trouble visits our lives, or death has come, and we're now at the point of bereavement. Sometimes we just don't think about it at all. But by the hand of God and by his word and his will, by the Holy Spirit, he sends and he speaks to us these words. He says, just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The hope of heaven, you see, is the greatest possible comfort in times of our affliction. We're all afflicted with pain and suffering. We all are afflicted with sin. And no matter what kind of cancer you might even come into contact in this life or whatever kind, sin is the worst thing that you can ever run into in this life. Worse than any physical ailment that you can ever endure. Sin, just like a physical ailment, it'll kill you. But not only in this earthly body, but it will kill the inner man. The hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort to each and every one of us. It's by God's hands that we are delivered. It's by God's hands that we live. Let's begin by looking at Psalm chapter 6. I want you to see ourselves through the infirmity of one King David. I want to see if you identify with some of the things that God is going to tell us through this psalm. Psalm chapter 6, the king of Israel goes through a range of emotions as he suffers from illnesses in his life. He says in verse number 1 of Psalm chapter 6, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness, for there is no mention of you in death. And Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. Has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. What a gamut, what a range of emotions King David goes through as he suffers illnesses. And you or I, we're not exempt from those things as well. We run through the same emotions in our lives when we face with fear and illness and trouble when it comes into our lives. When we face with sin, we run through the same things. Verse number 1, he was fearful. He ran through fear. We all go through fear. It's fear because he thinks that his suffering is some kind of punishment from God because of his sin, so he's fearful. Maybe even of the consequences of such. In verses 2 through 3, he's impatient because he prays for healing. But understand, healing does not come automatically. So he grows impatient, and he asks God the question, how long will I have to suffer? Sometimes even our relationships, healing doesn't come automatically. It doesn't just come right away. And we sit in these marriages, and we sit in these relationships, and we sit and we ask God, how long do I have to suffer, Lord? And we get impatient. David was praying for mercy, don't you see? And he explicitly says so in verse number 2. We have the right to ask God for mercy. We must know that. I personally don't think of these words as often as I ought to, about mercy coming from God. We need to consider that mercy is most certainly what we need most of all from God. We don't go around thinking about mercy at all of the time in our lives because we get impatient with God, especially when we become ill. How long, Lord? Just please have mercy on me. Ephesians 2:4 tells us that God is rich in mercy and has great love for each and every one of us. He's merciful to all of his children. And we've got to keep that in our hearts and minds. You find in verse 4 through 5 of chapter 6 that we all have found ourselves bargaining with God. Every last one of us. Lord, if you do this, I'm going to do that. David promises to continue worshiping God. He promises only if he's healed, I'm going to continue to worship you. Have you ever been there? He reminds God that if he dies, he won't be able to give thanks anymore. But who can give thanks when they're dead, he says. He has a deep desire now to serve God completely. He has a deep desire to obey the Lord once again. His intent is to glorify and serve God. Sometimes sickness has a way of making us see who we are and see who God is. Sometimes it just does that. And we all run through that emotion of depression because we feel like we're helpless and hopeless. So we get depressed and we go, well, why does it have to happen? Amen. Why me? Why is it me? We never ask the question, why did it have to be Christ? And Christ says, why not me? Why not give all your infirmities and your sins and allow me to bear them? Because you can't do it on your own, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you fight, it's in God's hands. And in Mark chapter 5, we find a demon, his name was Legion. And no matter how much they pitched in, they chained him, they held him down, they tried to do all they can for him, he would break the chains and still overpower them. But then he saw a guy by the name of Jesus Christ. And try as he may, he couldn't overpower the Christ. It's by God's hands that we are healed. It's by God's hands that we are sustained, no matter how much we fight. And I'm not saying don't put up a fight. You've got to fight, but it's by God's hands that we are healed and we're able to stand today and say, thank you, God, for your grace and mercy because you have delivered me. So don't get depressed. David says that there's nothing that I can possibly do that gives me satisfaction. So I'm reduced to weeping and despair is all around me. There seems sometimes in our lives when we run into trouble, when we get ill, when death comes along, that there is no hope in our lives. But it's by the hand of God that we see down the road and we see that all things that are coming in our lives are for the good of God alone. It helps us too. But it's only through faith are we helped, only through the faith of God, knowing that he's there. me tell you something. When Peter had so much confidence in Christ, he says, Lord, let me just come out on that water where you're at. Let me just walk on water. Jesus says, well, okay, come on, brother. Come on out here. Come on, Peter. So here comes Peter, strutting on the water, strutting. But he forgot to keep his eyes on God. We've got to keep our hands in God's hands. We've got to keep our eyes on God. And regardless of the fact that he didn't keep his hand in God's hand, didn't keep his eye, God still reached his hand down and he rescued him. It's by the hand of God that we are rescued, church. Yesterday is Pink Sunday, but today is the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day, and he is the deliverer of those of us who suffer all the time in our lives. Some people never get over suffering. They never do. Day after painstaking day, they suffer. There's some of us who never get over our sins. We come to God time after time after time, and we can't seem to break it. But suddenly, David says, suddenly joy just breaks into my life. And I'm cured and I'm restored by God. And he feels vindicated and relieved. And there's a renewal of hope and confidence that he didn't have before. Why? Because at last, God has answered my prayers. Ever felt like that? At last, God, you've answered my prayer, and there is hope and renewed confidence that I have. What a powerful thing for us to know that God, in the middle of all that we're going through, that he answers our prayers. What a powerful thing to know that when we're in distress, when our back's up against the wall, that God hears our prayers and our cries. What a powerful thing to know that it's the hand of God that delivers us. I want you to notice three things that David heard from the heart, that God heard from the heart of David. The Lord heard the voice of his weeping. People tell you all the time, share. What do you mean, Louisiana? Share, don't cry. Well, I'm telling you, if your name is share, you go on and you cry. Amen? You're not the first and you won't be the last. You go and cry if you have to cry. The Lord hears the voice of weeping. You tell us all the time, you don't have to beg nobody for nothing. Well, let me tell you something. David was begging God with supplications. He begged him. The Lord has heard my supplication. He's heard my earnest plea. I'm begging you, Lord, for mercy. The Lord will receive our prayers, church. From a heart of righteousness, God will hear us. And he will answer us. From the crying in bed at late at night, we've done it. From our knees bleeding from fervent prayer over and over and over again. From our former request for help, God has heard and he will answer us. We've got to know that. No matter what we go through or what we're going to go through in this life, we've got to know that God will hear us and his hand will deliver us. Some of us have been through some things in our lives, some things that we can't even talk about sometimes. Some of us are going to go through some things in our lives, and they hurt and they threaten our very lives. But God's healing hand, church, I want you to understand that. Sometimes we don't put the physical together with the spiritual and the spiritual with the physical until we run into a physical problem in our lives. And then we call on God, who's a spirit, to rescue this body of ours. And he rescues us. He answers us. And we come to God with confidence. We're well again. We healed again. And we're ready to deal with the things in the world once again. We're ready to put them to shame for not believing in God like we did. ready to put him to shame because while we was weak, God was there being strong for us. And sometimes, just like the 10 lepers, only one comes back, and we're not grateful for our healing at all. Sometimes some people are healed by God and they're just not grateful. They get better and they go back to the same old things they were doing in the church. Amen. Deceitful again, lying again. You ought to just fear God. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. God has healed your very life. He's given you a second chance. But like Hezekiah, you want to show everybody else everything that you have. This psalm of David is called a suffering psalm, a suffering prayer. And it ought to be helpful to those of us who suffer from worry and pain, whether it's physical, social, psychological, or spiritual. This psalm ought to help us to know that everything that we do is in the hands of God. We're going to suffer physically. We're going to suffer socially. Somebody's always there to put us down, to bring reproach upon us. We're going to suffer psychological because we're going to run through those gamut of emotions. Lord, why me? Why am I crying? Why am I depressed? Here are a few things that I gleaned from Psalm chapter 6. First of all, I wrote this down. To suffer is human. More than 2,500 years ago, David suffered the exact same emotions that we do today. He suffered them when he was faced with trouble and illness or even death. Fear comes in our lives, anger, depression, and we even bargain, and we fill with joy after it's all over with. But it should help us to understand that we're going through nothing that's new, but actually part of the normal human existence. And we shouldn't feel overwhelmed. We shouldn't feel unique, and most of all, we shouldn't feel defeated. Sometimes we think no one else understands. We're the only one that's going through it. But everyone else suffers as well. And they do it pretty much in the same way that you do. Second thing I wrote down about this is that there's not always a quick fix. Here was David, God's special servant and king. He was chosen by God for this particular role. And now he's going through a terrible ordeal. You ever ask yourself, you know, God, I'm your child. Why am I going through this? You got all these people in the world that's doing good, but here I am suffering? You ever ask yourself that? Why me? I want you to understand that the severity and the length of our suffering is not due to our favor or disfavor with God. Suffering in this world is permitted by God for his own purposes in our lives. However, he will not let it go on 1 second more than it needs to. He'll deliver you by his hands. We should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. But what we ought to do is stay faithful despite our suffering. Even though David experienced different powerful emotions, he never abandoned God. The worst thing that can happen when you're suffering is not that you're going to lose everything that you own. People always worry about their stuff. I'm so sick I can't pay my light bill. I'm going to lose my house. That's not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing is not even that you're going to die. That's not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that could ever happen is that you might lose your faith. Because the true test of suffering is not how brave you are or whether you get better or not. The true test of suffering is to remain faithful unto death if that's what needs to be done. To remain faithful, that's the true test, knowing full well that you're in God's hands and you will not walk away or abandon God. That's the true test. Because you're going to lose something. Even if you lose your life, you're still faithful unto death. Listen. The hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort in our times of affliction. Some of us have gotten to the age now where our parents are afflicted in such a way where it's affecting our lives, and we can't go on with our normal life as well because we've got to deal with them. And it makes us sad, and it burdens us. Sometimes it overburdens us. But heaven and the hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort in all of our times of affliction. Listen, without the assurances of God's word, the approach of death and sickness would be the most frightful experience possible. Most of us fear the unknown. We don't know what's on the other side. But by faith, we see the exceeding precious promises of God and his Son as it robs death and illness and disease of the terror that it brings to us. It takes it away. Romans 8 says these words, starting in verse number 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory. Let me say that to you again, because I don't think we consider that. I consider that our present sufferings, whatever you're going through right now or you're going to go through, is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us by God. Can't compare. We know the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. The redemption of our bodies, we wait eagerly for that. For it is in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already? But if we hope for what we do not have, yet we have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts and knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with what? With the will of God. And we know that all things, here it is, work together, come on, for the good of those who love the Lord. And for those who have been called according to his purpose, everything is in his hands. Everything. So when you walk by faith, we see death as a move from the earthly tent in which we groan into a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When we walk by faith, we see this body as a movement of victory, the successful end of a race of our lives. We see it as the gate through which we pass to obtain the reward for which we lived our lives, so we might experience the union with our Lord in that place that he's prepared for us. And we shall be like him, 1 John. And we will live with him and the Father forever. We walk by faith. We move from this earthly tent into the spiritual realm where our God is. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can affect us, because it's by faith that God delivers us in all things. All things. I want to read to you what Job said in Job chapter 19. I want to read the amplified version of it, because I want you to see that it's the spirit, the inner man, that God heals more than anything else. But we're so accustomed to this physical flesh that when something happens to it, oh, don't slam my finger in the door because I'm going crazy. My whole body hurts me. And I'm calling on God for mercy just for that. Because to me, that's close to death. Here's what he says. He says, for I know that my Redeemer and Vindicator lives, and at the last he will take his stand upon the earth. Even after my mortal skin is destroyed by death, yet from my immortal flesh I will see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes will see him, and not another my heart faints within me. We've got to see God right now. You know, I was sitting here as we were singing those songs this morning to God, and I was thinking to myself, How was it going to be sitting around the throne of God in his presence? And I thought to myself, well, God is present here now. We're singing to him even right now. You ever thought about that? We're practicing right now to be singing to God in heaven. God is present right now, sustaining us, holding us in the palm of his hand, and healing us. God is helping us. The hope of heaven still comforts a troubled heart. And it's the hand of God that gives us that power to overcome. Is there any better blessing than the God of heaven responding to our needs and helping us to overcome every challenge that we face? There's no better blessing than that, church. We've got to know that. And the first thing we've got to know is that there is comfort in believing in God and his son. We're not in a world governed by fate or chance. It has nothing to do with it. God made this world and everything in it. He is in control. Everything is in God's hands. And by his hands, he's given us salvation from sin through his darling son, Jesus Christ. Sin, the infirmity of the ages that none of us are going to get out of. For we all sin and fall short of God's glory. It is sin that's going to kill us if we don't repent of those sins. Every last one of us has suffered and will suffer as a living soul upon this earth. Isaiah says that Jesus also suffered as a living soul. Not only did he suffer, he was faced with the specter of death just like we was. He says in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by mankind. Isaiah says he was a man of suffering and familiar with pain, and we don't want to get our fingers mashed in the door. I don't. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed by the wounds of Jesus. This was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. Oh, he suffered. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. After we suffer, we see the light of life. And God is satisfied if we suffer in the faith that he has given us. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Listen, church, sin is one of the most grave diseases that we can ever have in our lives. We don't have a pink Sunday or a blue Sunday or a green Sunday or a purple Sunday for that. But we have a Jesus Christ. We have a Savior for that, who has gave us a whole lot more days in our lives if we accept him and allow him to get rid of sin in our lives, a sin that's just waiting to kill each and every one of us. You know what you face in this life. You know what type of sin that you're into. No sin is bigger than the other, and there's no such thing as a little bit of infidelity. Either we're faithful to God or we're not faithful to God. Sin is an illness, church. It's an infirmity. And Christ suffered that infirmity for each and every one of us, but was delivered by God, by the hands of God. Oh, did he cry? Sure he did. Did he pray? Sure he did. Was he troubled? Sure he was. You have not gone through anything that Christ has not gone through for us already. Amen. Over 70 times the scripture says these words, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. But know that it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God is offering you an invitation to be free from disease and the illness of sin, that he might save your very lives by his hands. But we find ourselves depressed and crying and afraid and throwing those pity parties that we just will not surrender our lives to God. Well, there's only one other alternative for you. If you don't do that, you're going to die. You're going to die in your sins. God calls us to hear his word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Healing comes by the word of God, by his hands. He's called us to believe that Jesus Christ is his son, as he's given us commandment, 1 John 3:23. He's called us to believe on the son that God himself has given us witness to. If not, we make God out to be a lie. Some people don't want to witness Jesus Christ in their lives, and we make God to be a liar. So I ask you, what you're sitting in here for then? Why are you here if it's not to trust God with your life? And if you don't trust him with your life now, when will you do it? Is he not capable today? Or will he be more capable tomorrow to save your life? God will save your life right now. All you got to do is get up and heed the invitation to hear God's word. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Bring your sin, bring your sickness, bring your distress, bring your tears, bring everything that you have to God, and let him by his hands heal you. Gotta repent of your sins. Luke 5, 31, 32, Jesus said, "It's not the whole who need a physician, but those that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but those that are sick, those sinners to repentance." Will you hear him? Will you be healed? Gotta confess Christ. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim to be without sickness, if we claim to be without that sin, if we claim to be without that cancer that's going to kill us, that sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess to ourselves, if we own the fact that we are sinful, sometimes when people get sick, they just deny it. They don't even want to know that. They don't want to deal with it. And they wait too late. All my life I've seen it. All my life I've been in the hospital over 35 years, and all my life I see it time after time after time. People don't want to deal with it. They'd much rather just stay sick and die than to say, you know what, let me take care of this illness I have. Amen. Our spiritual lives are the same way. We don't want to deal with the healing that God gives us. We'd much rather just live a lifetime in sin and just die like that. God can heal you. Why not give in to him and let him do just that? Pink Sunday, we fight, and why not let God fight as well? For you and with you, so you know that the victory is sure. Because you're denying the Son when you don't respond to God. And whosoever denied the Son, you do not have the Father. But if you acknowledge the Son, you acknowledge the Father also, and he will heal you. Got to be baptized in water. With remission of your sins. You know, sometimes what cancer needs is surgery. Amen. Sin needs the same thing. Paul says, it's a circumcision not made by the hands of man. That's what he says. It's a surgery done by God. He doesn't remove the filth away from your body. He takes away the sins from your very soul. Cuts them away. He heals you. And just like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too can walk in the newness of life. You can have a new life. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he's not going to die no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but made alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pink Sunday is about life. The Lord's Day is about life. Will you embrace it? Or will you sit there and just allow the disease of sin to continue eat away at you like a canker sore and never ever have the opportunity to see God face to face? I'm like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know that in the end I'm going to see him face to face. And in my flesh, listen to me, I don't care how it is or whether it's disease or whether it's healthy, in my flesh, he says, I will see God. My prayer, my hope today is that you will see God as well. And you allow him to deliver you. That you're going to see him today and get up out of your chair and obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sin, sickness, and death, they're the great equalizers. But Jesus Christ, he's the cure. If we can help you today, once you come, we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Sing the one.